This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
If you don't want to hear real facts on social and political issues, then stop listening now. Otherwise, stay right here for real issues, real facts, with real people.
Accelerate your culturalization of America.
But when the Dems use the argument that we're all immigrants, that, you know, I want to turn into the Tasmanian devil with two clubs in my hand and clear the room. They were immigrants that came here because they wanted to be here. They wanted to learn the American. They wanted the American dream. You cannot get the American dream speaking Spanish.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
I'm going
to
deal with topics and issues that will make you think, make you mad, and maybe even get you a little embarrassed. Don't go anywhere. The lines are open. You can reach me at 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563.
You're all so stupid. I need to take lessons.
You're despicable.
Welcome back to another session of Sanity right here on the Real Side. Always a pleasure to have you with me. I appreciate the time you're spending with us on the air, in the chat room, texting, tweeting, and being part of the conversation. 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563. And I really do, I sincerely appreciate the time that you are spending with us here on the air and in the chat room and texting and tweeting. Head up to the website, realside.com. You can watch live, listen live, take the poll. Lots happening there. You can also sign up for our weekly newsletter, right? That lets you know who's going to be in the show, what we're going to be talking about, that kind of stuff. And I do appreciate the time you spend with me. And you can find out what's going on. And you can find out how to buy my book, Ramblings of a Right-Wing Bible-Thumping White Guy, all the things that you've been taught to be afraid of, and you don't have to be afraid of any of them. I'm telling you the truth. So I'm going over the I don't know, what do you want to call them, the headlines today. And mainstream media, even though there's been nothing, absolutely nothing in these charges and the indictments that prove or show or connect Trump to collusion with the Russians, and to show you that how disingenuous these people are, and they're willing to shift us any way they can, here's some of the titles of some of the articles. You ready? Ex-Trump campaign advisor pleads guilty. Manafort indicted for conspiracy and money laundering. Trump advisor lied about Russian dirt. Three former Trump campaign officials charged in Russian probe. However, none of the stories out there today in any way, shape, manner, or form either tie any one of these guys to doing these things while on the Trump campaign, that there's collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign. None. I mean, if you go by what the stories say, basically, if you had any kind of relationship with any Russian before you got on the Trump campaign, you brought collusion into the Trump campaign camp. They're idiots. They're just idiots. They're so desperate to catch him to do something. Catch him in anything. Seriously, they're willing to throw him under the bus, throw their people under the bus to make it happen. So, again, in a fabulous display, right, of total heathenism, Spacey kind of sort of admits to molesting a 14-year-old, and then he comes out as gay, and what happens? The media cheers him on for coming out and ignores the other thing. So, I guess the way... and again, please, forgive me. I'm going to paint with a broad brush because I'm tired of this. I am tired of always hearing about how, you know, these kids are finding themselves early that they're gay or lesbian or transgender or whatever. And it's all about them feeling good about themselves. All about them coming out on coming out, okay? And yet here's a guy, how about we put it this way? If this was a 14-year-old girl, would we be as accepting? No, I would hope not. Sweet Jesus, I would hope not. But because it's a gay thing or a lesbian thing, all those things we're not supposed to touch or talk about, or we're called homophobic over or whatever, Because of all of that, we have to cheer Stacey on. No, he sexually molested a 14-year-old human. Okay, how's that? Doesn't matter. Now it doesn't matter what the sex act was. He molested a 14-year-old, whether it was consensual or not. If a girl can't consent to having sex at 14 with an 18-year-old, then a man cannot consent to having sex with a 14-year-old boy. That was the other way around. But I had to blow my nose. The 14-year-old boy can't consent to having sex with a man. It just doesn't work that way. Okay? Hold on. Say bless you ahead of time. Hey, what do you want me to do? Better than that, than all over the microphone, right? When A-lister, two-time Oscar-winning actor Kevin Spacey was accused of sexually assaulting a then 14-year-old boy, actor Anthony Rapp, by allegedly carrying him to a bed and then climbing on top of him, Spacey responded by implicitly acknowledging, he said, yeah, I did that. Then he blamed his drunkenness and claiming that he had chosen to live as a gay man. Oh, my God. And that makes it all okay. He went on to say, oh, here's his statement, I should say. I have a lot of respect and admiration for Anthony Rapp as an actor. I'm beyond horrified to hear his story. I honestly don't remember the encounter after all these years. It would have been 30 years ago, but if I did behave then as he describes, I owe him a sincere apology. So in other words, if he's not lying and trying to get some fame, then I owe him an apology. But how could I possibly remember something that horrific from 30 years ago? Because I don't care whether it was a gay act, a lesbian act, a heterosexual act. You climbing on top of a 14-year-old as a grown man is disgusting. The story has encouraged me to address other things about my life. I've known that there are stories out there about me, and that some have been fueled by the fact that I've been so protective of my privacy. As those closest to me know, in my life, I have had relations with both men and women. I have loved and had romantic encounters with men throughout my life, and I've chosen now to live as a gay man. I want to deal with this honestly and openly, and that starts with examining my own behavior. Okay? So would you be turning yourself into the police department? That's what I want to know. This is the so-called Jim McGreevy defense. McGreevy, of course, was the governor of New Jersey from 2002 to 2004, until news broke that he had sexually harassed one of his staffers. Okay? This is just crazy. And they get away with it because they're from Hollywood. It should disgust you. Stop buying their movies! I'm Joe Messina, your host. We'll be back in a few minutes. We're going to be talking about the Electoral College, so don't go far.
J&M Enterprises is a full-service screen printing company. They print on shirts, pants, hats, cups, frisbees, sports bags, sweatshirts, tote bags, and most any other promotional items. J&M has been family-owned and operated for over 25 years. J&M takes pride in providing high-quality products and services because we care. Our state-of-the-art equipment enables us to print high volume with superior quality on any job. We print on clothing lines for schools, businesses, sports teams, and bands nationwide. Our team is committed to total customer satisfaction and the quality you should expect from a professional screen printing company. J&M, family owned and operated. Give us a call. We guarantee a great product and a great price. 800-462-0002. For a price quote, 800-468-0002. Or go to the web at www.jnm.cc.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24-7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve? Nerve or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
This just in. Before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, Your First Home Medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNwellness.com. Just like it sounds, GCNwellness.com to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNwellness.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh my gosh, that's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me, are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenix commercials.
Oh yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenix really work?
Oh yeah, I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenix.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Samples are not available in stores. Text PRIME44 to 42424.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
The stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
There is the theory of the Mobius, a twist in the fabric of space where time becomes a loop from which there is no escape.
We are back. You'll see the real side on GCN Live. Always a pleasure to have you with me. 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563. If you head up to the website, therealside.com, you can watch live, listen live, take the poll. We have an old-fashioned, I'm going to get in trouble for that, but we have an old-fashioned chat room up there, so if you guys want to hop up there and talk to each other as well on Facebook, we have a live feed going on there, and I guess they call that just a, what is it, just a Facebook feed. There you go. See, I'm old, man. I don't understand these terminologies. Anyway, it is radio, so most people just sit and listen, but if you have to be involved, you can do it on Facebook, you can do it on a website. Anyway, always a pleasure to have you with me. You know, we talk about what's going on, we talk about the Constitution on a regular basis and what's going on in the states with people, even conservatives who do not understand how this works. They don't understand what an electoral college is, what it means, why it was set up, how it works. And so I've even had conversations with friends of mine who say, yeah, you know what, it's just a lot of stuff in the way. We should just go to a populist vote. That's it. End of discussion. They're going, no, no. There'd only be like three or four states that people would campaign in and would only matter. So don't buy into this stuff, if you would. So Tony Perez recently came out. He's the DNC chair, and he you already know where he's coming from. So you know if he makes a statement, there's a problem to begin with, right? So according to Tony, the Electoral College is not part of the Constitution, right? I mean, almost like our founding fathers didn't want anything to do with this. Well, Tony, maybe you should read more than the Sunday Comics. Seriously. Author and lawyer Kara Ross joins me now, and she says that the Dems want to destroy the EC and rule the political sphere in her new book, The Indispensable Electoral College, How the Founders' Plan Saves Our Country from Mob Rule. And boy, is she right. Tara, thanks for joining me tonight.
Thanks for having me.
You know, first of all, most people, even the ones I talk to and that I think are pretty smart or informed, they really don't understand what the Electoral College is and how it works. Can you, just in simple English, can you explain that?
Sure. I'll do my best. So in this country, we have a two-part election system. The first part is the part you're used to seeing on Election Day, and that is the elections in the states. Now, there are 51 of these elections, 50 states plus D.C. These are entirely separate elections. They are purely democratic. You know, you hear people complain that the Electoral College is not democratic, but these are purely democratic elections held in each state. Now, each state is holding an election to decide who will represent it. Which electors are we going to elect this year? A Republican slate of electors, a Democratic slate of electors, or a third-party slate of electors? So at the end of Election Day, each state has cast its ballots, made a decision, decided which slate of electors will represent it. That's phase one. Now, phase two occurs about a month later. It doesn't usually get that much attention, although it did this year or in 2016. But that's the second phase of the election, and that's an election among the states. So the first phase is purely democratic among individuals within the states, and then you have the second phase, which is an election among the state's electors. There are, of course, 538 of these electors. They're actual people who cast actual ballots, and whoever gets a majority of those electors wins the presidency.
So why not just add up the votes and go with it? Why add all this extra layer? Make things easy. We're not that smart anymore in this country. Why can't we just do that?
You know, I think the most important thing to remember about our Constitution in general, and the Electoral College, of course, that goes with it, is just to remember that the founders were never trying to create a pure democracy. And the reason for that was quite simple. They knew that in a pure democracy, 51% of the people can overrule the other 49% all the time, no matter how bad the reason is, no matter how emotionally they might be acting. There's an analogy that sometimes you saying a pure democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. Well, the sheep doesn't feel very good that it got a vote. You know, it doesn't care. It's still getting eaten for dinner. So the founders, I don't know that they used that analogy, but they saw this dynamic and they understood it. And they knew this because they studied history, and they were well-read men who had read all these political philosophers, and they knew their stuff. And so they were trying to create a government that would avoid this danger of the tyranny of the majority, where bare emotional majorities just tyrannize the rest of the country. But how can you avoid that, but how can you also still be self-governing? And so they solved their problem by creating a constitution that does have many democratic aspects in it, but that also has many checks and balances. We have separation of powers. You know, we have presidential vetoes. We have a Senate with one state, one vote representation, and we have the Electoral College. And it's just one of these safeguards to make sure that we're not being run by a handful of people. We are ensuring that our presidential candidates have to broaden their base of appeal, pay attention to everybody, and not just focus on one part of the country.
Yeah, and it's true. It would simply be, you know, mob rules and what have you. The only places that would actually have a say or a vote or however you want to lay it out, it would only be the bigger cities, the bigger states, if you would. There'd be no reason. I mean, the middle of the country really wouldn't count, would it?
Well, you know, 2016, I think, showed us basically a small little microcosm of what our world could look like without the Electoral College. I mean, even when she didn't totally mean to, Hillary Clinton got so much of her vote. 20% of her vote came from only California and New York. And, of course, much of that vote came from big urban areas within those big states.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she wasn't even being rewarded for that behavior. It was actually something she should not have done. Maybe she would have won the election if she had not done that. But without the Electoral College, we would watch this kind of go on steroids, right? And she would have no incentive to go anywhere else in the country or any other Democratic that came along after her. They would get more bang for their buck if they just rack up a lot of votes in California and New York. And Republicans, by the way, are not immune to this. I mean, they would go to Texas, which is where I am, to Dallas, to Houston, or whatever, and rack up as many votes as they could there. It would become a race just to see who could get the most like-minded people behind them turning out in the biggest droves. There would be no effort whatsoever to build coalitions or any of this other stuff that we are historically used to doing.
You wouldn't need to. I mean, as you say, you just simply wouldn't need to, right?
There's no point. It's not useful. It's a bad use of resources. You know, you can spend less money, use less time, go to one big city and rack up a whole bunch of votes. Why would you want to go to 20 like small cities? It's so much harder. It's like it's just a pain, you know. And it's harder because they're probably not as like they're not naturally inclined to like you necessarily. You know, if somebody like Hillary Clinton goes to L.A. or San Francisco, they already agree with her. It's easy to rack up votes there. It's hard to go to a place like Missouri and to listen to people who are not like you or maybe are semi like you but not all the way like you and to try to win their support too. That's just harder. We need an incentive in place to make candidates do that or they're not going to be naturally inclined to do so.
Of course not. Hey, we got to go for a quick break because I believe in capitalism on the show. We'll talk more about your book and the Electoral College on the other side of the break. I'm Joe Mazzini, your host. You'll see the real side. I'll be back in just a few minutes.
J&M Enterprises is a full-service screen printing company. They print on shirts, pants, hats, cups, frisbees, sports bags, sweatshirts, tote bags, and most any other promotional item. J&M has been family-owned and operated for over 25 years. J&M takes pride in providing high-quality products and services because we care. Our state-of-the-art equipment enables us to print high volume with superior quality on any job. We print on clothing lines for schools, businesses, sports teams, and bands nationwide. Our team is committed to total customer satisfaction and the quality you should expect from a professional screen printing company. J&M, family owned and operated. Give us a call. We guarantee a great product and a great price. 800-462-0002. For a price quote, 800-468-0002. Or go to the web at www.jnm.cc.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level. That's advertise.gcnlive.com.
ProPure Water Filters, most trusted, most tested. Right now you can save 25% on the ProPure Nomad Gravity System. Visit an authorized ProPure dealer for details. That's P-R-O-P-U-R.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
The antidote to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
This just in. Before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, Your First Home Medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNwellness.com. Just like it sounds, GCNwellness.com to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNwellness.com.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
We are back. You're listening to Real Sight on GCN Live. Always a pleasure to have you with me. 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563. Love it when you comment and you hop up on Facebook. I love some of the comments that you're making up there. Look, as far as knowing the Constitution, I got that little blue book with a new one, pretty one. And I got the Constitution. It's in the car. Don't go get it. And I was looking at it. I was thinking, it's so small, it's not like it's a novel. It's not like it's a novelette, even. I mean, you really could go through this eating your lunch for 20 minutes and go through the whole thing. And it's not like it takes you a college-level degree to figure out what these guys were writing, because it's really pretty darn simple. And if you read this thing even once a month, you'd have a clue as to what your rights are, because it's not so much you being a constitutional expert or being able to quote the Constitution like some people quote the Bible, but how do you know what your rights are? How do you know what you have the right to do and not to do, or what somebody else has the right to do and not to do to you, if you don't know what they are? You don't, listen, I know some of you people think that because you have a pulse and a heartbeat and blood goes through your veins, you have all the rights. You don't know what you have a right to do. You have no clues of what you have a right to do. And frankly, I don't have much of a clue either. I wing it most of the time. So author and lawyer Tara Ross joins me, and she's written a book, The Indispensable Electoral College, How the Founders' Plan Saves Our Country from Mob Rule. And Tara, thanks for being with me today. Appreciate your time.
Oh, sure. I'm glad to be here.
You know, I love talking about this stuff only because I have no clue. But when you get Tom Perez from the DNC, you'd think if you made somebody the head of your organization that was based on, you know, the rules and the laws that were set forth by the Constitution, you would have a clue as to what's in the Constitution. He says the Electoral College is not part of the Constitution. Might he be incorrect?
I'm really just hoping he misspoke.
You're a real optimist, aren't you, right?
Well, given what he said, I went back and read more about what he said, and I hope he meant winner-take-all allocation of electors is not in the Constitution, and he would be correct about that.
Yep.
But the Electoral College itself, yes, indeed, is in there. It's been operating since 1789 when George Washington was first elected, and we've used it for every election since, and you have to have an amendment to get rid of it. That's just kind of the way it goes.
Oh, that's, you know, that's the other thing I love too is, you know, we were talking off air about the states that are trying this movement, you know, the popular vote movement, and thinking that all they need is a contract, all they need is a law or an agreement that they would give these votes. It's not the way it works at all. They have to have an amendment. They can't just simply make a law, correct?
That's what say, but they are contending that they can pass this or approve this interstate compact, basically a simple contract among states, and that the contract will say, well, we promise to give all of our electors to the winner of the national popular vote, and if enough of us do that, then by default, the winner of the national popular vote will get a majority of electors, and so that person will win. So the Electoral College will exist on paper, but in practice, of course, it will mean nothing. And so, you know, they're doing this. They've got 10 states that have agreed to sign the contract, plus D.C. That's 165 electoral votes. The contract goes into effect if they get 105 more votes. And, you know, and they're trying. I don't know if they'll get them all or not, but certainly if they do, it'll end up in the courts because there are a lot of people like myself that contend you just can't do this. It's an end run around the constitutional amendment process, and that's not okay.
No, I agree with you, but I am amazed. Well, I guess if you want what you want, and you're willing to ignore, I'll say it, you don't have to lie, steal, cheat, do whatever you need to do to win, then I guess this stuff doesn't really much matter to you. It's not really a big deal, if you would. It's so irritating.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they really, really want to get rid of the Electoral College. They really, really hate it. You know, and it's a free country. They're entitled to really hate it if they want to. But the Constitution says that you need 3/4 of the states to ratify a constitutional amendment if you're going to get rid of it. And by the way, the reason we have that supermajority requirement to amend the Constitution is in part to protect small states. So, you know, it's the way it works. You know, this is the set of rules that we all agree, or our ancestors all agreed to in 1787, 1788, when they were ratifying the Constitution. There's this thing called consent of the governed. We all agree to the rules that we're going to live under. And until you find another way that goes along with consent of the governed, you don't get to just change the rules because you want to. You got to get people to vote in the proper procedure to do it.
Rules? What rules? What are you talking about?
Rule of law. I know. It's just the rule of law.
Rules.
But the rule of law protects us. It protects our freedom because it protects us from arbitrary rule.
Yeah, I don't think I think people have lost that understanding. That is, people come here from other countries because of the rule of law, which gives them the freedom to really live out their lives the way they want to without some dictator stepping and saying, no, you're too successful, I'm going to take that from you, or no, I want you to do this. Or be part of this group or what have you. They don't realize that that's what gives them the right to do it, is our rule of law.
Exactly.
So, all right, so your book, The Indispensable Electoral College, How the Founders Plan Saves Our Country from Mob Rule, and it does, if people would take the time just to understand it. So in your mind, or in your writings, what is the biggest myth about the Electoral College with the general populace?
Well, there's probably a few, but one of them is this idea that the founders created the Electoral College only because of bad communications and bad travel or whatever. Like, if the internet had existed in 1787, there would be no Electoral College.
Or bullet train.
It's just not true.
Right? Yeah,
right. I mean, it's just not true. And what is true is that the founders, when they were deliberating what their Constitution was going to look like, they weren't talking about, oh, that horse and carriage is so slow. They were talking about human nature, the imperfections of human nature. Power corrupts. By the way, you know, sometimes you hear people say the founders just didn't trust the people. Well, no, the founders didn't trust anybody at all because all of us are human. Government officials are human. Mm-hmm. Voters are human. State officials are human. Federal officials are human. We're all human beings. And so the founders recognized that each and every one of us is susceptible to emotion or corruption or mistakes. You know, whatever it might be. And so they created a constitution that was full of safeguards and checks and balances and separation of powers. And yes, there are safeguards on a straight popular vote, just like there are safeguards against government officials having too much power in certain ways. It's what they were doing. And all of these problems they're still true. You know, humans didn't stop being humans just because we invented the internet. Maybe it got worse. I don't know. But we are still imperfect. Power still corrupts. I mean, all of us complain all the time about the status quo in D.C. and how we want to shake things up or whatever it is. You know, none of this has changed. And so I would argue that the Electoral College is just as badly needed as it ever was.
Well, look, the Founding Fathers knew the heart of man. They knew what we would be like if we got the power. They knew what would be like if they left any cracks in the armor, if you would. Mm-hmm. They knew how we would handle things. And I think that when they put the Constitution together, when they actually, you know, stood around and talked about all these things, I would like to believe. Obviously, I wasn't in the room. I'm not that old. Mm-hmm. But I would like to believe that they were working on the heart of man and saying, okay, how do we make sure that we give them every opportunity to keep the freedoms that we want them to have, that God has given them, and how do we make sure that happens? So it, really quite interesting when you look and read what these men were doing. What would you like to see people take away from this book? What's one of the main things when they read your book and they go, wow, I didn't know that, or, man, this is really this, whatever the blank is really good.
Which is kind of what I want. I mean, so last year I was watching the election and I noticed how often people just felt stuck or frustrated or just felt stuck. I think people spent the year feeling stuck and like they didn't always like where things were going, or at least the divisiveness and all of the stuff that was going on. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, so much of this is caused by just not understanding our system. And it made me so sad because none of us were ever stuck, and lots of the divisiveness and stuff was completely unnecessary. And so I think information is power. And so I hope that it empowers voters. I say that in the preface. I hope it empowers voters to know what their options are, to know how things work. You know, and one theory that's in the book is that I feel like we have taken this process that the founders meant to be a very decentralized process, powers dispersed among the states, with which each state expressing its own voice and its own priorities, and we've taken it, we've nationalized it. We've nationalized everything. We give power to the RNC, the DNC, the CPD, you know, the Commission of Presidential Debates, the federal government, fraud commission, whatever. We're always giving power to D.C. We're centralizing it all. Now, is it any coincidence that the more we centralize a presidential election process that was meant to be decentralized with power dispersed among the states, that the more upset and divided we are?
I need you to hold that thought. Because I believe in capitalism, and so do you, or you wouldn't be selling a book. We'll be back in a minute. Take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. We're going to learn more about the Electoral College and why it needs to stay right after this.
This just in, before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, Your First Home Medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNwellness.com, just like it sounds, GCNwellness.com, to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNwellness.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Google has all but banned the movie series, What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to WWMDfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's WWMDfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
Anybody care about what I want?
I do.
Shut up. Get out.
We are back. You listen to The Real Side on GCN Live. Always a pleasure. Hope you're back. That's good. Anyway, I'm Joe Messina, your host. Always a pleasure to have you with me. 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563. Speaking of books, head up to the website, therealside.com, where you can watch live, listen live, take the bone. You can buy my book as well. It's called Ramblings of a Right-Wing Bible-Thumping White Guy. All the things you've been taught to hate, all the labels that the left has given a guy like me. You know, those are the people that hate labels, remember? They tell you they don't like the label thing. Well, they love the label stuff. They're lying to you. So read the book. Find out how to combat the left in a nice way. Okay, I don't push violence on anybody, but you've got to have the information. You can't just sit there and spew party lines. It doesn't help. It doesn't work. I'm just telling you, it really just makes us look shallow if that's all you do is spew party lines. So we've been talking about the Electoral College and what our founding fathers had in mind really with this, what it really meant. And I've got Tara Ross. She's an attorney, and she's the author of a book called The Indispensable Electoral College, How the Founders' Plan Saves Our Country from Mob Rule. Again, Tara, thanks so much for being with me. I appreciate your time.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
So, you know, one of the things we were talking about before we went to break was the centralization process. Like, you know, our founding fathers, there were some Federalists that wanted more power at the federal level, but ultimately they all agreed that the state should have a right to decide what they want and decide how to rule their, decide the laws they should have for their people, by their people. Now, it seems like over the last, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, we're coming into where more and more push for it to be totally federalized, if you would. Do you agree?
General push in everything, but from healthcare to the presidential election system to pretty much anything. So no wonder we're all at each other's throats half the time, right? Because it's a big country with really diverse country, and we're not going to all agree all the time. And the founders did not think it was necessary for us to all agree all the time. They dispersed power among states. And just as they did it with many aspects of our legal system, they did it with the presidential election system. And they figured, you know, we would vote our own voices, basically. So I, when I was writing this book, I spent lots of time just trying to go back into old elections and figure out what did this mean to them? What did states do? And it's anything from, in 1876, Colorado did not hold a presidential election. Okay, the legislature appointed electors. And their reason was money. It was too expensive, and it was logistically hard because they just become a new state. And so it just for time and convenience, they decided to appoint electors instead. You know, they didn't care what anybody else was doing. In Wyoming, a few years later, they let women vote. Now, they didn't go ask New York for permission. They didn't go ask any other state. They just, in fact, no other state was doing it. But they thought, Wyoming thought it was important. So they did it. And there's a whole mess of examples like this, just states expressing themselves and expressing their own priorities. In 1836, Virginia did not put the Democratic vice presidential candidate on its ballot. They didn't think he was a good guy. They didn't like him. He was living with his slave. I think, actually, to be fair to the, I think he wanted to marry her, but the law wouldn't let him. But be that as it may, they just didn't like him. They thought he lacked character, and so they didn't put him on the ballot. You know. So anyway, so I just went through and got as many of these as I could, just to try to talk about the difference between how things used to be done and how we do things today.
Yeah, it's really funny. In California, they passed a law that the presidential candidate has to have certain things in place before they'll put him on the ballot. And they were all Trumpisms. Every one of them has to do with, you know, keeping a guy like Trump off our ballot again. I'm thinking to myself, wow, that'll give us a lot of choice, won't it? So now what it's come down to is they won't allow us to vote for somebody that the legislators don't like. It's that, I think, is just crazy. Not even close to what our founding fathers. I hope somebody challenges that law and takes it all the way to the Supreme Court. I'd be curious to see how that comes out. You know.
Well, but the devil's advocate is that it's up to the voters to keep their state legislators responsible for that stuff. So as an example, in 1892, there were some states that didn't put Grover Cleveland on the ballot. They didn't like something about monetary policy that he was doing. And so they just didn't put him on the ballot. Well, it was the rematch that year. And Grover Cleveland won anyway. So guess what? 4 years later, the Democratic candidate was back on the ballot in those states. So, you know, I'm not even saying that states make perfect decisions, but I think the point is just that the founders set it up to, you know, ambition against ambition. That's what they said. You know, states versus federalists. Not that anybody's perfect. Not that anybody ever makes all the right decisions. States and federal government make wrong decisions. But the fact that it's decentralized and that they are checks upon each other, at the end of the day, ends up keeping everybody honest.
Oh, you know what? In California, though, I'm normally an optimist, but in California's got 2/3 of the Democratic vote. Somehow the Democrats keep getting into the state level. But the funny thing about it is the local levels, the Republicans take most of those offices at a local level. But when it gets to the state, something happens. There's a haze or a cloud or something we can't seem to get past. And the laws that they pass, the things that they do to those poor people, the state is amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how they keep doing it, but one of the questions I don't want to go without asking is, does the Electoral College favor one party over another, do you think?
Of course. Yeah, of course not. I mean, now if I was a Democrat right now, I'm sure I'd be feeling pretty badly about the system because two Democratic candidates have suffered from this Electoral College rule, you know, twice within 16 years. But the fact of the matter is that if you look at the full history of state voting, what you see is that it's more like a pendulum, just kind of swinging slowly back and forth. The Electoral College map first favors one party and then appears to favor the other. You know, in the 80s, there was blocks of red states, you know, voting for Reagan, including California, by the way. Mm-hmm. And the Democrats didn't see how they could possibly get, how will we ever win an election again? You know, and then along came Bill Clinton, and he won a whole bunch of states that hadn't gone blue in ages, you know, like decades, and he won those states. And then, you know, it seems like there's this blue wall, and you can't get past it, and there's no way, and Republicans are disadvantaged. Well, so much for that one, too, you know? So it's just, it is constantly changing, and to me, that is the whole point. It is almost like the free market. You know, it's a competition. Which political party is competing best for your vote right now? And sometimes one party does a better job than the other. Now, I'll say I think right now we're in kind of a period where neither party is doing a terrific job. That's why we've had these series of close elections. It's the same thing that happened to our country in the late 1800s, where there was a series of close elections, some of which, by the way, two were especially in 1888, Grover Cleveland won the popular vote but lost the Electoral College vote. 1876 was just a huge mess for a variety of reasons. But then, you know, what happened is the political parties figured it out, and they moved on, and they became healthier, and they worked to appeal to more people. And I really think that even though we're kind of in a bad spot right now, the Electoral College will do what it's done before and help us out of this mess.
Now, you are such an optimist when it comes to politics.
The worst thing we could do is get rid of the Electoral College, because it is one of the few remaining marks of sanity in our presidential election system, which has become messed up in so many ways. Mm-hmm. But this will bring us back to a better, healthier place where we're not so angry at each other all the time.
Well, you know, I think that some of the changes they've made, some of the amendments they've put into place, they've done because it doesn't work well for one side or the other, which was never the intent of the Founding Fathers for this. And let me ask you, what lessons can we take away from the 2016 election? What are some of the things that you would look at and say, you need to make sure you watch out for A, B, and C?
Well, I think one thing is, you know, this idea that Electoral College proponents, such as myself, have said that big cities could rule the nation without the Electoral College. Okay, not made up. We watched that happen last year. It, you know, would have happened, but for the Electoral College, 20% of her vote coming from New York and California, when she wasn't even trying for that, right? It would just get worse. So that's real. We know now that dynamic is real. That's number one. Number two, what I've learned is just anything can happen. Anything. So yeah. I think, you know, and I just say that because, for instance, there's some states have like been rushing to clamp down on faithless elector laws and stuff. Okay, well, let's stop and take a break and just take a deep breath and think about other things that could happen. But don't assume a presidential candidate is not going to have a stroke after Election Day, but before the meetings of the electors. Let's assume that a tragedy could happen, and let's be prepared for that. So instead of just making a set of laws aimed at one presidential election year, you know, or maybe it's your income tax rule aimed at Donald Trump, you know, instead of making one set of laws aimed at one person and one set of circumstances, let's talk about everything. Because you know what? Anything could happen. So let's make laws that make sense on principle that aren't aimed at one person.
No, we don't want to do that.
Yeah, no, silly me.
We don't want to make too much sense. You'll make people nervous. I always get a kick out of hearing people. You know, I always love listening to young people at conventions and places like that, and they have that much energy and that much we'll say perceived knowledge. How's that, you know, as to what's going on and how. All right, well, listen, where do people find your book? How do they get a copy of it? Can they get an e-copy? Give them the information they need to buy it tonight.
Sure. Well, it's on Amazon, and if you go to founderselectoralcollege.com, you will find my book on Amazon, including the Kindle version. If you go to indispensableelectoralcollege.com, you will find the Barnes & Noble version, because I am handy with my links. I always come up with easy-to-remember ones.
Oh, Tara, thanks so much for being with me. I really appreciate it. And
thank you.
We're going to put up the links, too. We'll tweet out the links as well, and we'll have them up. And we'll have you back in a little bit to find out how it's going and get more information. I mean, you can't be taught about the Electoral College enough. I'm Joe Messina, your host, listening to Real Side on GCN Live. Always a pleasure to have you with me. Look, don't go far. We're going to talk about the corruption iceberg that's melting in D.C. Seriously. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go far.